Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 12. Please repeat. Sa,
sa,
yada,
yada,
anuvrata,
anuvrata,
Pumsam,
Pumsam,
Pashubuddhi,
Pashubuddhi,
Vibhidyate,
Vibhidyate,
Anya,
Anya,
Esha,
Esha,
Tata,
Tata,
Anya,
Anya,
Aham,
Aham,
Iti,
Iti,
Beda,
Beda,
Gata,
Gata,
Asati,
Asati.
I'll just read this twice, the Sanskrit. Sayadanu pratapam sam,
Sayadanu pratapam sam,
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate,
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate,
Anya esha tatanyoham,
Anya esha tatanyoham,
Iti beda gata sati,
Iti beda gata sati,
Sayadanu vritapam sam,
Sayadanu vritapam sam,
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate,
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate,
Anya esha tatanyoham,
Anya esha tatanyoham,
Iti beda gata sati,
Iti beda gata sati,
Sa,
Saha,
That Supreme Personality of Godhead,
That Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Yada,
Yada,
when, Anuvrata,
Anuvrata,
favorable or pleased,
favorable or pleased,
Pumsam,
Pumsam,
of the conditioned souls,
of the conditioned souls,
Pashubuddhi,
Pashubuddhi,
the animalistic conception of life,
the animalistic conception of life.
I am the Supreme.
I am the Supreme.
And everyone is God.
And everyone is God.
Vibhidyate.
Vibhidyate.
Is destroyed.
Is destroyed.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Esha.
Esha.
This.
This.
Tata.
Tata.
As well as.
As well as.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Aham,
aham,
I,
I,
iti,
iti,
thus,
thus,
veda,
veda,
distinction,
distinction,
gata,
gata,
having,
having,
asati,
asati,
which is disastrous,
which is disastrous.
Translation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinction between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Please repeat. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead receives
with the living entity.
With the living entity.
Because of his devotional service.
Because of his devotional service.
One becomes a pundit.
One becomes a pundit.
And does not make distinctions.
And does not make distinctions.
Between enemies.
Between enemies.
Friends.
Friends.
And himself.
And himself.
Intelligently.
Intelligently.
He then thinks.
He then thinks.
Every one of us.
Every one of us.
Is an eternal servant of God.
Is an eternal servant of God.
And therefore we are not different.
And therefore we are not different.
From one another.
From one another.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Prahlad Maharaja's teachers and demoniac father asked him how his intelligence had been polluted, Prahlad Maharaj said, "As far as I'm concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted. Rather, by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of my Lord, Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. But under the influence of the external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected, and therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I am rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master, for then we shall stand on the platform of oneness as servants." End quote. Demons think of everyone as a friend or enemy. But Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnav treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. The Ishopanishad advises, ekatvan anupasyata. A devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart, and should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called ekatvam, oneness. Although there is a relation of master and servant, both master and servant are one, because of their spiritual identity. This is a ekatvam. Thus, the conception of a ekatvam for the Vaishnav is different from that of the Mayavadi. Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become antagonistic to his family. when a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family would naturally have been inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakasipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. Therefore, he asked, "Who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness by yourself? Since you are a small boy, someone must have induced you to think this way." Prahlad Maharaj wanted to reply that an attitude favorable toward Vishnu can develop only when the Lord is favorable. Sa yadanu vrataha. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the friend of everyone. Suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantam richati. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities. It is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is pashubuddhi, the intelligence of an animal. He falsely thinks, "I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me. The enemy has done this, and therefore my duty is to kill him." This misconception is described in this verse as Beda Gatasati. The actual fact is that everyone is a servant of the Lord, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivar Swarupai Krishnar Nityadas. Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 108. As servants of the Lord, we are one, and there can be no questions of enmity or friendship. If one actually understands that every one of us is a servant of the Lord, where is the question of enemy or friend? Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnav thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability. And everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sani visto matasmitir dhyanam apohanam cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service, life after life, and are punished by the laws of nature When a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayam tite. Those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend, and everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. Translation again. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We have gathered here on the auspicious occasion of
buying a house.
Get a blessing from the other devotees, especially Maharaj Swami.
And to get the blessings from the devotees. And what blessings do you want?
Become a
pure devotee of Krishna.
And serve Lord Krishna, Radha Sandhi.
And serve Lord Krishna. Okay. Does everyone in the family want the same blessing? Same. Okay. Very good. You're his son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want the same blessing? Or you want? You can ask for whatever blessings you want. You want the same one. Can you repeat what that blessing is?
Become a pure devotee and serve Krishna.
Yeah. Become a pure devotee and serve Krishna. Good. So, the real beginning of spiritual life is to understand that you're not the body. It's a basic instruction that comes at the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. But unless we understand we're not the body, we can't really progress. And the conceptions of friends and enemies, which is so prominent, is based on the false identification with the body. Pashubuddhi, this verse said Pashubuddhi. And elsewhere, Srimad Bhagavatam says that anyone who identifies with this body, this bag of mucus, bile, and air, he's no better than an animal. So most people are on the animal platform because they identify with the body. And they are seeking the pleasures of animals, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We see it in every area, but we see it quite prominently now in the political arena, where there's so much attention paid to friends and enemies. And even in spiritual organizations, that can also enter. But the basic idea is that no one is a friend, no one is an enemy. Everyone is a servant of Krishna by constitution. And therefore we're all the same. And although Krishna may give different dictations to different devotees according to their different desires to serve Krishna, but they are all servants of Krishna, and therefore they're all on the same platform. And we should not differentiate. But as Srila Prabhupada said so nicely, we should appreciate the service of the other servants of Krishna. And allow every servant to serve according to his or her capacity. In the early days of Srila Prabhupada's mission, he faced a lot of opposition from people who thought that, in the Bhakti concept of life, people who thought that foreigners or non-Indians or non-Brahmins could not become Brahmins or sannyasis or anything. When Srila Prabhupada first arrived in Bombay, there was a press conference, and afterwards someone wrote a letter to the editor of the Times of India saying that he was referring to a devotee who was in that early group of devotees named Gopal. And Gopal had been a construction worker before he joined. And now he was a Brahmin. So this critic wrote a letter to the editor saying that if someone is a construction worker, it means he's a Sudra. So how can a Sudra be considered a Brahmin? And Srila Prabhupada instructed us to write a letter to the editor in reply. And of course, he made several points. One is that, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagasa. That one is placed in a varna according to guna, one's quality, and karma, one's activity, not according to one's birth. And he also made the point that in the West, people believe in the dignity of work. So, and he also made the point that someone may become qualified to practice law in a certain province. He may not be accepted in another province. But the fact that people in another province don't accept him doesn't mean he's not a lawyer and he's not able to practice law. So in the same way, there may be some community of Brahmins who don't accept us as Brahmins, but that doesn't hamper our acting as Brahmins or being accepted as Brahmins by others. So, Srila Prabhupada really fought to establish this point, which is in the scripture, but which was opposed by many Brahmins and others, caste Brahmins, that everyone has the right to serve Krishna. Everyone is eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone has the right to serve Krishna. And it was quite a long struggle. Now, things have changed quite a bit. In 1977, towards the end of Srila Prabhupada's time with us, one of the freedom fighters, Jai Prakash Narayan, he organized a huge meeting to protest the caste system, a caste by birth. And so, in this meeting, so many hundreds of thousands of Brahmins came. And so he made a bonfire. And then all the Brahmins came forward and took off their sacred threads and put their threads in the fire. And when Srila Prabhupada heard this, he said, "Good. They're admitting they're all sudras." But a real Brahman knows Brahman. He sees that everyone is Brahman, aham Brahmasmi, and he doesn't make distinctions. So to try to assert one's superiority on the basis of being born a Brahman itself shows that one is not a Brahman, because one is on the platform of an animal and not on the Brahman platform. So it was quite yes, come forward. Yes, everyone come forward. And when one actually develops love for Krishna, which is the goal, then one will naturally love all of Krishna's parts and parcels. As Srila Prabhupada often said, people want brotherhood, but we're brothers if we have the same Father. So to achieve brotherhood, we have to accept the supreme fatherhood of Krishna. And the father loves all of his children. And therefore we don't kill animals or eat flesh, because we see that those living entities in the bodies of animals, they're also children of Krishna. And so okay, human beings may have superior intelligence, they can exploit the animals and take advantage of the animals, but that will not please the Father. To the contrary, it will greatly displease the Father. So, whenever we find friction, disagreements, conflict, we should think, is there some deficiency of Krishna consciousness here? Of course, there may be differences of opinion as to how best to serve Krishna. Abhay, you just put your fingers in your mouth. Go and wash your hands. I took the opportunity to instruct Abhay because he's somewhat submissive to me in public. And so I'll also take the opportunity to instruct some of the others. I noticed during the kirtan, some of you were not chanting. Even like Madanga players were not chanting. And that the real thing is to chant. And once it's good to support the chanting with playing Madanga, but to play Madanga and not chant is not proper. Then it's better not to, if you can't do both, it's better not to play Madanga and to chant. So it may be hard to chant in the beginning because of lack of taste. But there's a nice verse in the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction, that the students at the TKG Academy have learned by heart. But basically it says, Syat Nama Krishna Charitadi, that the holy name and qualities of Krishna are sweet, like sugar. But for one who is afflicted by the disease of avidya, or ignorance, which is like the disease of jaundice, that's the sweet holy name and forms, characters, and pastimes of Krishna taste bitter. How many in this room have ever had jaundice? Yeah. So when you have jaundice, it's true. You don't like the taste of sweet things. But the remedy, or part of the remedy, is to take sugar candy or rock candy, even though it doesn't taste palatable because of the disease. But by taking that candy, gradually one is cured of the disease. And then when one is cured, one can taste that sugar candy as it is. It's sweet, like nectar. So we may not have a taste now because of avidya. What does avidya mean?
Ignorance.
So we're back to that thinking I'm the body. Identifying with the body. I mean, we may know the philosophy that I'm not the body. But in practice, I may still identify with the body and act on the bodily platform and give more priority to the benefit of the body than to the benefit of the soul. So that is avidya. And when we're afflicted by that disease of avidya, then the sweetness of Krishna's holy name and character is not appreciated by us. We find other things more palatable. But still, if we understand this point that we're diseased and this is the medicine to cure the disease, we'll take the medicine even if it's not pleasing to our senses. At first. I'm sure every parent has experienced a time when a child has been sick and has to take some medicine that the child doesn't want. But you have to force the child. Sometimes they have to get shots. They don't like shots. But they have to, because it's good for them. So we're diseased, and we have a childish mentality. We just want to enjoy. We don't want to do something that's not pleasing to our senses. But sometimes that thing which is not pleasing to our senses is the medicine we need to overcome our disease. And then we can really enjoy. That sense pleasure is not real enjoyment. First of all, it's of a different standard completely. It's not real pleasure. And the other is that it's bound to the world of duality, like friends and enemies. You get both, like heads and tails on a coin. You get both. You can't have only heads and no tails. So as soon as you think, okay, I want to enjoy this thing of the material world, praise, for example, the other is going to come, blame. So as much as you enjoy the praise, you know, relish the praise, you're going to have to suffer the misery that comes from blame. So to pursue any side of a duality in the material world is ultimately futile, because you're going to get the opposite of what you're trying to enjoy. And actually, we're not the enjoyers of anything. We're trying to enjoy something means really we're trying to take something that belongs to Krishna and enjoy it for ourselves. So. That's punishable. is punishable. So we should know that nothing belongs to us, everything belongs to Krishna. And we should not identify with the body. And, you know, as Prabhupada said, a devotee realizes that anything pertaining to the body, praise or blame, is useless. Right? So he doesn't get very happy if someone praises him. He doesn't get very upset if someone blames him. And you know, so being detached from all of these things, we should be friendly to everyone. Friendly to everyone means if they're devotees, encourage them to make further progress in Krishna consciousness, and if they're not devotees yet, encourage them to take to the processes that will help them realize that they are eternal servants of Krishna. And so we go out, we chant, we distribute books, we have festivals. So that people can understand that they are eternal servants of Krishna. And then when they come to the association of devotees, they should see the example of Krishna consciousness, of friendly relations among devotees. Once Srila Prabhupada raised the question amongst some of his disciples, why we are successful, why the Krishna consciousness movement has been successful, whereas so many other religious organizations or so-called spiritual organizations have not been. And so one disciple said, because of your books. Which is true. But Srila Prabhupada was making another point also. So he said, there are so many organizations that have books. Why are we successful? And then he gave the answer that because when people come to our organization, they see in practice what's been presented in the books. So you have to be examples and practice what we preach. And we should preach and practice. So it's nice we have many devotees from different backgrounds here, and no, we haven't broken into any fighting so far. It's not right here in this room. So it's a good beginning. It's a good beginning. And of course the chanting is most important, because Cheto Darpano Marjanam, the chanting, offenseless chanting, cleanses the dirt from the mirror of the mind. And what is that dirt? That dirt is the very thing we've been talking about. It begins with identifying with the body. So the chanting, offenseless chanting, will cleanse that dirt from the heart. And then there's so many benefits that follow, including Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, that it expands the ocean of bliss for which we are all anxious. So we should chant whenever we can. When I was noticing some of the folks not chanting in the kirtan, I thought of the cartoon that Srila Prabhupada saw and commented on a couple of times. As an old man and an old lady sitting next to each other, and the old lady is saying, "Chant, chant, chant." And the old man is saying, "Can't, can't, can't." So with the same effort that he's saying can't, he could have chanted. But because of that causeless aversion to Krishna or envy, he won't. There's a talk by Srila Prabhupada. In fact, maybe one of you can help me here, not immediately, because it's there's a line in Bengali, and Srila Prabhupada doesn't give the translation of the line, but the story is it's the same idea. Srila Prabhupada is making the same point. That an elderly lady was dying, and her son was telling her that she should chant, and she wouldn't chant, and the son kept insisting that you should chant, you should chant, you should chant, and finally she got angry, and she said this whole long sentence in Bengali, which we need to get translated. This whole long sentence in Bengali, protesting, that she couldn't chant. And Srila Prabhupada was making the point, in her anger, she could spew out this whole long sentence. So she wouldn't chant, because of that causeless unwillingness or that deep-seated envy. So we should chant, and it will be good for us. There's a nice line actually in the Hebrew liturgy, which I grew up with. It's quite nice, and the translation is "Dear Lord, open my mouth that my lips may declare your glory." It's actually very nice whenever I remember it or happen to participate in one of those services. I like that. Oh Lord, open my mouth that my lips may declare your glory. Because we can't even do that on our own. We need God's help. So we can pray, open my mouth, let me sing your name. Let me sing your glories. And that will purify us, that will enliven us, and it will ultimately bring us above the material platform and so that we can see the equality of all beings and help everyone in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, are there any questions or comments? Yes?
Thank you for your wonderful comments. I had a question when you said costless aversion.
Yes.
So, I was I was under the impression that the aversion is purposeful. My indifference, I'm actually purposely indifferent towards Krishna. So, how do I understand its causes?
Yes. I said both causes, and I also mentioned envy. But it's causes in the sense that we have no reason. It's like His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has said a few times. We've done japa retreats together, and in counseling, say like marital counseling, generally the counselor will try to get both parties to see what their fault is in the difficulty. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu said that, you know, when he understood, which was quite early on, that you really need to chant with attention. You can't just chant absent-mindedly. When he started to really chant with attention, he experienced some like overwhelming sadness, which he kept secret, because our motto was chant and be happy. So now he's chanting and he's paying attention to it, and he's feeling sad. But then when he sort of got deeper in it, he realized that the sadness came from his having turned away from Krishna. And he realized that the responsibility for that, that the fault in that was entirely his. It wasn't like Krishna had done anything wrong. You know, it wasn't like, you know, there was some blame on both sides, but it was entirely in him that fault of breaking that relationship with Krishna lay. And so in that sense it's causeless. Krishna didn't do anything wrong. It's not that, you know, he gets some of the blame and I get some of the blame. He didn't do anything wrong. It's entirely due to our own mistake that we left Krishna. So in that sense, it's causeless.
We have misunderstood the word causeless to mean not the jiva's fault. So I think I misunderstood the context.
Yeah. Causeless, yeah. 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 Good, we clarified that. Yes?
So, on the subject of honor and blame, we find in the Bhagavad Gita it says equal and honor, dishonor. So there's also the examples like when Ram banished Sita, he said to Lakshman, this is from the Ramayana, infamy is to be voided at all means. It is censured even by the gods. As long as one's infamy remains current on earth, one stays in hell. Great souls should always endeavor for fame and good repute in this world. And to avoid disrepute, I would give up my brothers, even my own life. What then of Sita? And then you have the example of Krishna also, who went at great lengths to clear up his name against Chamatakajula. I forget the blamer's name. I don't know if that's related maybe words to Raj Dharma, but how do we... Sometimes the fame or the infamy may affect our service. Like Lord Chaitanya, he said he took sannyas so he could preach because people would honor him as a sannyasi. Otherwise, he didn't necessarily see that, was that important for him. But it was more so to that honor would create opportunity. Or someone may be in a situation where a false blame may hurt their service. Like they may be blamed as a thief or something like that. And if they don't do something about it, then it may hurt their opportunity to preach or serve. So, how did
I knew that Nityananda Chandra would ask a question. Not for his own sake, but for the sake of the assembly. And he's making the point that as devotees, we don't want to give people an opportunity to find fault with us. Because if they find fault with us, that will be bad for their spiritual lives. So we should try to act in such a way that people don't find fault with us, and rather that they appreciate us. The problem, which I was highlighting, comes when we want to enjoy the praise or when we suffer because of the blame. That means that we're trying to enjoy the praise. But if so, we're really coming to the point of yukta vairagya. Have you heard the phrase yukta vairagya? Yukta vairagya means appropriate detachment. And so Rupa Goswami, it's a very, very important concept in Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami begins his definition, anasattasya vishayan, without attachment. One can accept things in relation to Krishna that are favorable for Krishna's service. So, for example, this house. Now, any house. If we accept that for Krishna's service, then we're not entangled. But if we accept it for our enjoyment, then we'll become entangled and we'll have to suffer reactions. So if we want to act in such a way that people appreciate us, but we shouldn't try to enjoy that appreciation. We should understand that appreciation is really for Krishna. That, as Krishna says, he's the ability in man. It's not us, it's Krishna. So he should get the credit. But yeah, if people appreciate us, we can use that to help them in Krishna consciousness. And if people don't, if we do something that brings discredit, then it can harm them. But sometimes you have to choose, and it may be that people might blame you, but that's not your fault, it's their fault. And, like Prabhupada said, that that's where envy comes in. That someone might be envious of you, and no matter what you do, they'll never be satisfied.
And then it's like the saying, the dogs may bark, but the caravan will pass. Srila Prabhupada told a story to illustrate envy, like how no matter what you do, someone will complain. I don't remember the details, but there was like a father, a son, and a donkey. So it began like this, that the father was on the donkey and the son was walking. So someone criticized it. Oh, you know, you're riding on the donkey and your son is walking. Your son should be on the donkey. You should be walking. So he got down and then the son got on the donkey. So then someone came and criticized, oh, you know, the son is on the donkey and the father, the father should be on the donkey. So they thought, well, wait, we already did that. So then they thought, all right, we'll both walk. Then no one will criticize. So they're both walking, and then someone criticized, what kind of fools are you? You have a donkey, but you're walking. So then they said, okay, then what's left? All right, so we'll both get on the donkey. And then people criticized, oh, how cruel you are. Two of you sitting on that poor donkey. So it's like no matter what they did, they couldn't satisfy everyone. So sometimes the atmosphere is like that. But yeah, we should try to, you know, while remaining faithful to our principles without compromise, we should try to act in such a way that people appreciate us and don't find fault with us. But there will be, but we should do what we can. Yes?
One question, not directly related, but you mentioned in your lecture that Lord Chaitanya has instructed that our eternal nature is Jivera Swarupa Hare Krishna Nityadas, the eternal servants of Krishna. But when preaching to other people, trying to make them understand that point, but they may have some regard for the Vedic scriptures, but no understanding of Lord Chaitanya. So Chaitanya Charitamrita doesn't count actually when you teach them. Is there any other reference in our Vedic scriptures where the same point is stated that all entities are servants of Krishna?
Oh yeah. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, Mame Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. And it's a natural function of the part to serve the whole. But even more basic is that they're not the body, the Atma, but there's a supreme controller in every unit. There's some controller. You know, whatever, in a family, in an office, in a sports team, you know, so in the universe, there has to be a controller. It's obvious there's design in the universe, so if there's design, there has to be a designer. So, I guess there's different degrees. People who don't accept Vedic scriptures in general, you're saying some people might accept Bhagavad Gita but not the Chaitanya Charitamrita?
In the beginning, at
least. Yeah. Yeah, so if they accept the Bhagavad Gita, we can certainly... I think that's the, you know, Mame Vangso Jiva, okay, Jiva, that and Sanatana, that they're eternally fragmental parts. Not that they're fragmental parts and then they merge. But, so.
One addition to what, I remember reading in Shvetashvatara Upanishad where it is more explicitly mentioned that there is Isha and Anisha. So there is the Lord and the person who is Anisha, who is like opposite, mm-hmm. trying to serve. He is reminded of that reference, and another reference I remember reading in Prabhupada's purport, I forgot the exact Upanishad where Krishna is mentioned as Vibhu and Jivatma is Anu. Mm-hmm. So that is, that could also be.
Yes, he's saying in addition to the Bhagavad Gita, we can quote Upanishads. True. What is your name?
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Yes, I met you before.
Thank you. Is the friendly relationship between devotees, is it transcendental or it's on the sattva guna?
He's asking the friendly relations between devotees, is it transcendental or is it sattva guna? Well, if we understand that we're eternal servants of Krishna, that that's transcendental.
It can be transcendental and it can be sattva guna, right? If I, when I make a relationship, when I don't understand my non-body, it's sattva guna, right? Or it's always transcendental?
Well, the understanding is spiritual. And if we act on that platform, it's spiritual. We may not always be transcendental, but if we have that consciousness that we're eternal servants of Krishna and act accordingly, then that is transcendental. Srila Prabhupada gave an example that in the beginning you may be in the boat of devotional service, and there may be turbulence in the water, so the boat may rock, but as long as you're in the boat, you won't get wet. You won't actually be contaminated, but there will be some rocking of the boat. But when you become more mature and experienced and expert, then you can handle the boat in such a way that it doesn't rock in the turbulence. But even if it is rocky, like some stormy weather, but as long as you stay in devotional service, even though there's some turbulence, you won't get wet. You won't be affected by it. You won't be contaminated by it.